Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Satish Ram, who's currently bothered by Roman Reigns booking, but we'll get to
who is currently your other host, and also, we'll talk about Roman Reigns when we get there, but the thing is, I shouldn't hope for anything in WWE, but I have a feeling.
And there you go.
And it
no,
wasn't,
it's over. It's
and it
over.
Wasn't
you
that tonight was going to be
anything.
A good night.
Shouldn't hope for anything in WWE. That's it.
No.
You're good.
The feeling was not that tonight was going to be a good night, because obviously it wasn't a good night, but it wasn't the worst of the worst. It can only be said it's the worst of the worst if you were thinking, you know, the old school mentality where it's just, guys, this is the go-home show. You know, we know that SmackDown isn't going to be the A-plus show, so we kind of needed a bit less resolution and a bit more, which we'll complain about John Cena in a minute, but I have to say, the MMA-style fight that they had, when secure, like 30 security guys came out to break them up, that's what we need, I think, as a whole, you know, for kind of sprinkled around. The idea of, oh, God, these guys really want to kick each other's ass, and we have to make sure that we can separate them. Not, these guys really want to beat each other up. Let's have them fight live on Raw before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that because that's still weird. But,
yeah.
I mean, all I can tell you is your lesson. Don't have hope in WWE, children.
No.
Don't.
No.
Children and adults alike. By the way, you know, who was, like, in his 30s with his family, all wearing John Cena stuff, I saw you. I'm very disappointed in you. I hope that you know that.
They'll never listen. It's very upsetting, and we'll get to it just in a moment. Before we do, I'd like to mention a few things. First off, you're listening to us now. You want to call in? Call in when it's relevant to the segment or match that we are referring to. So we're talking about we're about to talk about the first segment with John Cena. You want to talk about that? You call in. Now, what is that number? 718-664-9468. The number is 718-664-9468. Now, Satish, tell them about our other call-in feature.
Righto. If you call in using that number, you can hit the one button. We'll get a little notification if you want to get on air and talk to us. If you have a question, you want to discuss what we're talking about at that time. If you don't want to do that, you can call in without pressing the one button or typing the one button on your mobile touchscreen phone, and you won't be put through on air. Basically, if you don't want to talk to us, you don't have to. You can call in just to listen to the podcast if your internet is otherwise taken up.
Yeah, I mean, and it could be taken up for so many reasons. I mean, WWE Network, Amazon Instant Video, what else? It could be Netflix. It could be the Ring of Honor type network. It could be so many different reasons that your internet could be being used right now. So, yeah, we'd understand. You can call in 718-664-9468. You don't press 1. When they tell you to, you just sit there and listen. Now, will we get to the John Cena segment? Of course we will. Will it be right now? No. Why? Because breaking news, special announcement, everything's awesome. Those guys are doing their 100th show right now. Looks like we made it. Couldn't get the rights to the song. Whoa. But we're here.
Raw
How's it feel,
sucked.
Dish? I know. Wasn't it great? I want to go back to our first Raw, and I want that to be a clip where it's just you or I said, Raw sucked. And we can just go, wow.
I'm 90% certain that was a clip. Like,
we
can go back and listen to the first show that we did about Raw, and you'll just hear me verbatim say, Raw sucked.
And be great. Just, nothing changed.
99 freaking shows later, about, like, let's say 50-some that I've been on with you.
Right.
Raw still sucks.
Nothing's changed in our little town of those guys.
I'm beginning to question what I'm doing with my life, man. I do this podcast with you every week, and WWE doesn't care. They're not helping. NXT wasn't even on Raw tonight.
I'm happy that they weren't on Raw tonight. I'd rather them take a break from being on the main show and just give us some nice NXT goodness with them recharged.
Takeover was fine.
Yeah, but I still like them being recharged on NXT rather than being kind of thrown around a bit more on the main shows. And
if
then
TakeOver 2 was them working under the pressure of having to work Raw that week, then please, let them work under that pressure every week.
I mean, you weren't the biggest fan of TakeOver 2.
The second hour was glorious.
That is true. Also, right, jumping back to the whole website thing, why is that a big deal? That's a big deal because that's a hub for all of our shows. See, you could have, you know, followed us on Blog Talk Radio. You could have, but you'd also have to get a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, but you still have to get one. So it can be a bit stressful to kind of just sit there and you know, and go through all of our shows because we are at 100 episodes. So we understand, right? So now our, you know, our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, is a website where you will be able to see all of our past shows, right? Categorized Monday Night Raw, Main Event, SmackDown, the very few that we did for them, WWE pay-per-views, Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, Dragon Ball Z films that we've, you know, that we've reviewed. This Week in Comics, which is a show that we do usually every week with myself and another one of our co-hosts, Anthony Sanandris, where we talk about certain comics that came out, you know, on certain weeks. And you can see all of these on Those Guys on the Radio. .tumblr.com, as well as merchandise, where if you go onto our merchandise page, you'll see that we actually have you know, links to write stuff into Amazon. You know, we are an affiliate program with them. So if you see anything you like, anything based on your Dragon Ball Z, there are many new video games that you might enjoy that are coming out that you may not have pre-ordered yet. WWE 2K15, Super Smash Brothers, what else? The Pokemon, was it Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby?
Sounds about right.
Also, Kingdom Hearts 2.5. Many games that you may not have pre-ordered just yet, or, of course, if you don't have Battle of Z, the newest Dragon Ball Z game, you can get that as well, because if you know this, the newest Dragon Ball Z movie, Battle of Gods, is coming out in America in October, which you can also pre-order through us, the either DVD version or the DVD combo, DVD Blu-ray combo pack.
Well then.
Yes, you've got to go straight to the merchandise page, and of course, make sure that when you click on the picture, because, yes, everything has a picture, click on the picture. If it opens you up in a new tab, remember that keep on going back to the first tab, because as you keep on clicking on different pictures of things that you enjoy from our page, they will be racked up onto your shopping cart. So don't just assume that, oh, I clicked the thing, I'm now in right stuff. No, you can go back, and it'll be A-okay. Because remember, order through Those Guys on the Radio.
So basically, you know, as Matt will not say, we didn't sell out, we bought in.
I'm still smiling with my thumb up. You know who shouldn't have been smiling with his thumb up or just having a smile or a thumb up in general? John Cena.
Juan Cena.
Juan, yeah.
Juan.
Yeah, there's...
I've been taking Spanish. It's having an effect on me.
I understand. And he existed, so it's not even like you're being anything. There is a Juan Cena out there. Look him up.
Oh, Juan.
I believe you wrestled in AAA. Anyway, so my question to you, because you know how I feel. Well, I think many of us, if you listen to the show before, you know how I feel. Let's all see how Satish feels, because clearly your opinion will be different and no one will know your opinion. How did you feel about the opening segment with John Cena and Paul Heyman tonight?
Okay, so opening segment.
Right.
It was definitely, and it's weird because I've kind of blocked out some of the early part of the show, to be honest with you. Not that it was that bad. It just, Raw, am I really, I mean, you mentioned this to me, and I agree. The pacing was really weird.
Yeah.
And this was definitely surprising, where I was like, all right, so Heyman's coming out right away. And my first thought is, okay, last week, John said you've got, you know, a week to bring out Heyman. You've got a week to bring out Lesnar. So I laughed when he made the math botch in the whole, I told you, you've got 24 hours, Paul. And I'm sure Paul's just sitting there like, that would mean Tuesday, John.
You know, I told you, you know, it was like last week, I told you that tonight, you know, like, it was really interesting.
You know,
John
kind of screwed that up a bit. And it's funny, because, not one of the things where I'm sitting there like, John, you're terrible. That's something
I
can
really
laugh
funny.
At. Hey, yeah, everyone has botches, so I laugh at botches, you know, regardless of who. As long as they're not physical, because there were potentially some physical botches tonight that kind of made me cringe. But
Right.
It was like, it was what I expected from the segment, I guess. I just didn't expect or hope for John to be so threatening.
Yeah, I mean, he was extremely violent, and it's, and I don't want to bring up any stereotypes because I really don't want to do this, but I have to say, it's very interesting how, and I think it would happen in many places, but it's really interesting how here, right, you notice that in the area that is apparently the most American, if you notice the last segment, right? Or they could – honestly, it's either the most American or they could have actually – WWE could have been selling flags before the show. I'm not sure. But the most American from what it looks like, right? And you also get the most people going – cheering. I mean, there were boos, but people were cheering John Cena, and then you heard those same exact cheers going, yeah, like mess up – you know, mess up Paul Heyman, huh? It's like, shouldn't you – you and your kids, if you're there with your kids – you should be sitting there going, oh, by the way, you know, I know it's a wrestling show, but, you know, John is meant to be your idol and your god, so, like, don't do that, you know? Don't, because here's the thing. Paul Heyman isn't Daniel Bryan. See, if Paul Heyman, actually, no, I'm sorry, someone with, you know, a bit more weight on him, someone like Kevin Steen, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they tried to play up a role for Kevin Steen, like, think about back when we didn't know about the internet and know about, you know, people that we do now. So let's say Kevin Steen was in the 90s or in the 80s or something, and people really weren't supposed to know that he was this whatever guy. It'd be same thing with like Ricardo Rodriguez. It'd be really cool if it's just like, you know what, I'm going to do this to you. Immediately Kevin Steen just starts pulling out hurricanranas and stuff. And you're like, this is awesome. But no, we know, and everyone knows, that's not Paul Heyman. So it's really upsetting where it's just, you know, where it was just, it started off in a way where people were really supposed to sit there and question, except that, you know, the question never really turned into anything major by the end, or rather in the middle of the show. It never turned into something crazy. It was just, you know, be a star, kids. Also, John Cena's a frickin' bully.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, I was able to live with most of it, I guess, because not accepting it. Like, I was able to tolerate most of it until the end, when he physically dragged Heyman to the back, because that really kind of radiated bullying to me.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Heyman, again, you know, Paul Heyman is an unarmed, untrained, older man, father of children.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is not in wrestling shape, you know, and
no.
And it's not like he's like, let's say, Sergeant Slaughter, who's like a legend who's come back, and you're like, well, he used to wrestle. Paulie's not really that kind of guy. So
yeah.
It's really weird when it's like, all right, children, face your bullies by physically threatening them if you are bigger than them. Like, it just makes me feel like someone, you know, children on the playground, someone's going to be like, neener, 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 and then someone gets decked in the face because it's like, that's what John Cena would do. Because
well, no,
I
it's
can
funny.
Do that.
It's really funny because we talked about this a while ago. I brought this up a long time ago. It feels like a long time ago. When John Cena fought Bray Wyatt, right? And if anyone remembers this, then sorry, but for some of you new listeners out there, remember that, and if you don't know, here we are, John Cena, for a very long time during this Bray Wyatt feud, really tried to make us understand that Bray Wyatt is a normal man who bleeds human blood. And when Bray Wyatt calls himself a god, well, I mean, that's just silly, right? Like, that's just like, look at that Bray, he's just silly. And to combat the silliness of that, during the Last Man Standing match, he throws steel steps at Bray Wyatt's head from inside the ring to outside the ring. Now, am I saying this is wrong to do? Yes, but depending on who you are as a character, you can see it happen. Like, Dean Ambrose does that? Well, I mean, the lunatic fringe. You know what I mean? Seth Rollins does that? Well, I mean, he wants to destroy his opponent until he can't fight anymore. You know what I mean? And, of course, you know, Seth is a heel. So, but when it comes, even Roman Reigns, it's just, Roman Reigns is just freaking, you know, like, in my opinion, a Goldberg type, where it's just, he will destroy you. John Cena, it's just, I really enjoy having kids look up to me. Look up to me, kids, as I, you know, as I look down at Paul Heyman and murder him.
That's why it's weird. I mean, I'll be honest with you. This show left a really weird taste in my mouth, and I know that I want to sit here and not rant about the stuff that we ranted about before, but quite frankly, I mean, in terms of bullying and being, you know, be a star in terms of the way that WWE books their faces, tonight was a prime example of both the opening segment, but more so the later on segment, that, or even the whole thing in general, the fact that, you know, John basically took a hostage.
I laughed at
that with you, right? Because it's like John took a hostage, but John basically took a hostage. And this is an unarmed, untrained guy who just talks. And this is sort of what, you know, Heyman's pleased with it later as he's talking about, like, yes, this is what you need to do. But that's the point. If Heyman's happy with anything that you're doing, that means that you're not doing the right thing. So when Haim was like, good, this is the stuff that you need to do in the later part, that was a big point of like, hey, John's doing some heel shit.
Yeah. No, I bringing up, it's very, we've brought this up before, but I'll be quick, very quick about it. It's the idea, I think, that two things. Either the people in the back are so cynical that they really don't understand so much that it's just like, oh, you know, this is not good shit to do. Like, this is not funny exactly. Some stuff can be funny, but again, more, in, you know, not really when it's out there. And then two, another thing is the fact that, you know, I think they really want to try and tap back into the Attitude Era, which I don't think that's a problem in the sense that let's make the faces be kind of morally ambiguous. And it's like, that's actually just fine. But not the guy that you've made or tried to make, you know, the face of your company, where he is the face of the company, but the actual good guy baby face of the company. Like,
yeah,
that
that's
guy,
the thing. Where yeah. you can have ambiguous or anti-hero faces or tweener people. You can definitely
yes.
have that. I'm not arguing against the existence of that, and neither are you, of course. But
right.
what it is that this is John Cena, and you might sit there and be like, why are you so critical of John Cena? Because John Cena is the guy. You know, I can be critical of other faces, too, if they were the guy. You know, if Daniel Bryan were John Cena, and Daniel Bryan was doing heel stuff, I'll give you an example. When Roman Reigns was first getting his push as the baby
mm-hmm.
face, and they had him, you know, poison Vicky Guerrero's coffee.
Of course. It
was Vicky Guerrero's? No, it was Stephanie. It was the coffee for Stephanie that Vicky Guerrero had to deliver. So
right.
when Roman had to spike that drink, we were all sitting here like, that's terrible. And some people would be like, oh, you know, are you not going to – of course we're going to criticize that. Because Roman was being portrayed as
yeah.
someone who's going to be a new baby face. And that's
and
a terrible
now,
thing.
From the looks of it, they've made him a bit rougher and tougher. And I'm okay with that. Because if he's the face of the company in a few years, that's fine so long as he isn't the baby face of the company.
You know, and
that's
he should
really
be, what matters. He should be a face in the, you know, a top face. And I do think the rougher and tougher thing is important because I feel
right.
like Roman's the type of guy that, unlike John, is going to have to resort to, like, say they have hardcore matches, he's going to resort to weapon hits and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a heel way, but just protecting his own, his style of work and the fact that he
right.
does lack a little bit. But that being said, yeah, I mean, so John taking a hostage is an issue for me, of course, because John is the top baby face. And in no way can you really sit there? Like, yes, Paul Heyman's a dick to him. That is completely and utterly true. Right, and as Paul mentioned himself, like, you know, later on, like, hey, if anyone deserves to be punched, it's got to be me, right? But that doesn't mean
right.
that you should do it. I mean, just because someone's a dick doesn't mean you have the right to violate their human rights and hit them in the face.
And guess what? Some people could do it, but again, not when you're supposed to be the person that is supposed to teach children
that's
how to
the
act.
Thing.
Because
yeah, when
you
you're
to think
the
too.
Baby face, when
yeah.
you are the face of the company in terms of role model,
yeah.
right? You can't
yeah.
be doing that stuff. Other people can be doing that stuff, and it may not be the right thing, but they still are more, we can be more lax on it because they're not
yeah.
the baby face. They're not the guy. And when the company guy is kidnapping hostages, and then not only kidnapping hostages, randomly getting Kali to keep him in said room.
I'm sorry, but I do think that was funny. You can hate me all you want. I do think parts of that segment were funny, but the issue is the overall words that are used in the over... Like, okay, if you aren't five and you can actually listen, which is even worse because you're teaching five-year-olds, it's okay. But if you aren't five and you really listen to everything, I mean listen, you're like, that is a terrifying situation. This is horrible. This should not be happening on television. But I have to admit, getting Kali and then speaking... Another, like, as like I thought that was going to happen. I was like, please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. It's going to, oh, my God. And then he speaks Punjabi? Or Punjabi? What's the, I feel like
well,
a bad person for not knowing.
Yeah, I believe the country of India has a whole bunch of different dialects.
Right.
And so it could be anywhere from Hindi to Punjabi. I believe it's
okay.
Punjabi.
Okay.
But I can't
well,
confirm because
they called it. I believe they called it Punjabi.
Did he also
so,
Punjab,
so,
and that's weird because
Punjab, and I was like, oh.
I want to say Punjabi is correct,
right?
But I don't want to be the idiot.
Right.
So
it's fine.
I don't know, Maddie. This is a weird fact check thing, but can you check if the term Punjabi actually refers to a language? Because if it does,
also,
then he's correct.
Also,
if
before
not,
we
it might
move
have
on,
Hindi.
Before we move on, I would like to put on one of our callers, who is calling in tonight. I'm assuming to talk about John Cena. Hello, caller.
John Cena, report to the principal's office right now.
Because you're being sent to jail for taking hostages.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't think principal's office and jail tend to come hand in hand more often than not. I mean, that's more like a juvie detention thing.
Actually, in New York, it's kind of more it's more often. It's more a thing. It's
that
more
is scary.
Sir,
that
come is
to
really
the principal's
scary.
Office. You've murdered a man. We're putting you in jail.
Yes. Also, we were told, like later on, so John has escaped because we were told, and apparently we were told that it's not good to announce that on the loudspeaker before John is actually in the office with us. So children, be very careful when going home, and of course, hopefully your loved ones are safe. It's just, but seriously, Daniel, how did you feel about this segment?
Okay, John Cena. Why would you I'm sorry. Aren't you the good guy, the Hulk Hogan of what we're supposed to believe in, the epitome of morality as what you're being portrayed as?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
why are you committing a criminal act? A criminal act.
Yeah, if he was The Rock from day one and just stayed The Rock, I'd be like, oh, that Rock, even though it would be shitty, even though The Rock has been shitty sometimes in recent memory. Still, it's just, you're supposed to look at it as, oh, that Rock. But for this case, it's just, yes, John Cena is just like Hulk Hogan. And wait a minute, no, John Cena is currently Hulk Hogan NWO, but no one is referencing it.
Hulk Hogan NWO.
He's reminding me of NWO Hogan, and it's just not, nothing's ringing any bells. Everything's just fine.
Next you'll have Brock with the finger poke of doom.
Oh my! See, that would at least bring some kind of relevance to all of this, and would at least make it make sense. Hopefully, that's the rumored big thing that's going to happen at Night of Champions. Because if that happened, you know, this would obviously make sense. I'd be completely okay with it. Because guess what? I don't know how you feel about this, Daniel. Tell me right after I drop the bombshell. John Cena cut a really good heel promo tonight and wasn't one of the best heels on the roster, but was a pretty damn good heel on the roster tonight.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the problem is, if they do the finger poke of doom to Brock Lesnar and John Cena wins his 16th championship,
oh, no, I meant reversed. I mean, Brock does a finger poke, John falls down, Brock Lesnar wins, and it's just like, John, why did you do that? And he's just like, you know, again, another kind of sold-out type scenario.
Yeah, I guess that would work.
Because they've been pulling that for the last two weeks.
No, what do you mean, I guess that would work, Daniel? What the fuck are you on? That would not work. In no dimension would that work. How are you just accepting that from him? That's just starting bullshit.
Excuse me. Of course it would work if John Cena immediately becomes heel.
No, but it doesn't make sense.
And works with Paul Heyman. Because guess what? For weeks now, apparently, we're supposed to be told that, John, the fans hate you. How do you feel about that, John? I'm okay with that. Well, are you going to feel angry at me and hit me, John? Of course I wouldn't hit you, because then the fans would hate me more. I'm sorry, what's that, John? I mean, it would be in the newspapers. So that's why you wouldn't hit me, John? I mean, I'm going to hit you now.
You're supposed to not hit him because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. It's just, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know. I'd rather John Cena turn heel and join Paul Heyman.
Oh, God. That would be...
How do you feel about that, Satish? Because apparently you called it bullshit.
You are the same person who on air has fought for why John Cena will never turn heel.
I know. Of course he'll never turn heel. But apparently, as you mentioned once...
That's why you're starting bullshit.
I'm confused. I'm saying that he would never turn heel. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't want him to with what he's been doing recently. Also, by the way, the last time I said that, did these things happen? No. So things change.
You're just doing this to be difficult with me. I mean, I doubt John Cena will ever turn heel. And I don't even think I would
obvious.
Like the whole
I'm not,
finger
I'm not
poke
saying,
of doom scenario.
I'm not saying
no,
that's going to
I'd
happen.
Like that.
I'm not saying that would happen. That's obviously not going to happen. Everyone, there's not going to be a finger poke of doom.
Arguing for whether I would like that or not, I wouldn't like that, no.
Oh, okay.
Because it would be really confusing as to, the timing of it for me. Because I know... You can argue both sides. You can say the timing is good because John has shown remnants of the fact that he's going to turn heel. But the type of promos they've had him cut in recent memory, in terms of last week, really confused me to where, like, 2 weeks is enough to change a man's entire morality. You know, where 2 weeks, like last week, he sits there and he basically says that I never want to give up being the role model for children and stuff like that, you know? So I think it would take more than, like, a week and a half to convince him to lay down for Brock Lesnar.
I got to say this much, though. I don't even think John knows what day it is. Apparently, it was, what, 20? He gave Heyman the ultimatum 24 hours ago? 7 days ago? I'm a little worried about John's sanity right now. I think those Germans got to his head.
Yeah, 16 will do that to you. Even
and then 17 tonight. I'm a little worried. John might think he's Rapper Cena again.
I would love him to think he's Rapper Cena again.
I like that Heyman still thinks he's Rapper Cena for some reason.
Everyone has to. Triple H does. You know, they all have to just be like, so what's the one thing we can make fun of John for? It's like, well, we've done everything else to neuter John, so we can't really make fun of anything recently. It's just like, which is really interesting, because I have the strangest feeling Paul might have said to someone, just dropping a line, because he doesn't really write promos anymore. Or he's not really that into creative anymore, apparently.
Correct.
But I do feel as if he'd probably drop a line. How about the, the Michael Cole barbecue sauce that never happened, Paul? But I can't mention that in a way of like, John, you've done some questionable things. Never happened, Paul. Okay. Because it's really funny how that's apparently never happened. Like, no one references it. You know, it's just, yes, that's right. You know, John Cena did that to a man. And we're just allowed, you know, like, just nothing. Just, okay.
To be fair, The Rock did much worse than Michael Cole.
But again, The Rock was never looked at or was supposed to be looked at as John Cena. You know, is. I'm not saying I've watched every single episode of the Attitude Era, of Raw, you know, Raw and the Attitude Era and SmackDown, but I'm pretty sure that they never looked, you know, did, yes, you know, The Rock was charismatic, so that's why he was at the top. And he may have been, you know, a babyface who was at the top, but when you look at John Cena, he's meant to be just kids. I mean, he was Fred's dad on Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
now, The Rock did certainly do worse things to Michael Cole, but that's okay because that's like saying CM Punk did worse things to people than John Cena did. That's true because, A, he had a heel run, and, B, he also had a tweener run, both the same as The Rock, you know? So John has never even come close to a tweener run. I mean, in terms of actions, he's come close to a tweener run.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of booking, he has not, and, you know, that's the problem. But, I mean, we should – I don't know. I'm tired of talking about John Cena. He's going to come up again later on anyway. I know it. So
a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit later on. But again, thank you, Daniel, for calling in. Daniel's a resident caller, which is why we knew his name. I wondered if anyone thought that was weird. They called him his name. He didn't even say it.
Am I supposed to say my name when I call in now?
No, because we know you. We know you, but he's just kind of disclaiming for anyone else that calls in, we're not going to psychically read your names. It's just the fact that we know that you often call into our show.
Maybe there's a chance, but I mean, test it out, you know, 718-664-9468. Let's test this thing out.
But on that note, Daniel, I'm going to put you back into the little queue so you can continue listening to us as you always do. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for calling in, and you have a wonderful rest of your night.
All right.
Good night, Daniel.
So,
let's talk about other non-John Cena related things.
Go for it. What was right after that? Remind me.
Let's see.
I'm scared.
What was right after that? Apparently, it was Kane versus Jericho.
Fuck.
Here's the thing about that match. The only reason why I didn't like it wasn't because of match quality, wasn't even that the two were put together. It's the idea that they were put together on Raw, and then they were also the fact that there was no Randy Orton run-in. Like, I know there are some times where we say, there was too many run-ins this week, but they made a lot of run-in type matches this week, and they just didn't do it. So it was very confusing, where it's just, Jericho beat Kane! Oh, okay.
So that was weird for me.
That's where we are.
One, Jericho got decimated last week, and in terms of, I don't know if my memory's going bad, man, I'm being honest with you, but last week was the Steel Cage match and the Randy Orton beatdown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Jericho got decimated last week. And believe me, I often, you know, will worship any appearance of Jericho. But this man got decimated last week. I mean, I didn't think he'd be in condition to compete you know, storyline-wise tonight. Because why? He got killed by the Wyatts, you know, and then he got killed by Randy Orton backstage.
I mean, he was also on SmackDown.
Yeah, if anything, he should have come out injured or at least kind of hurt, you know, the whole, like, faking an injury. Mm-hmm. Not even faking an injury, but rather selling an injury. I'm sorry.
I think he sold it, but not as well as they could have had him sell it because, of course.
But he still won.
And he has a very aerial style, too, which is also hard to do when you have that kind
of injury. Which was fine. He did the Lions all fine. I mean, there are things that Jericho does to make it seem like he's hurt. I agree. But I just thought that after a beatdown of that quality that he wouldn't be on the card.
Which is, you know,
it would have been okay for me, at least in the card in a match. I'll say this much. Like, if he ran in and, like, decked Randy Orton or something like that, you know, doing that, I would have been okay with that. But you have him in a full-length match with Kane. By the way, no, not Kane, I'm sorry, Corporate Kane, because they made sure to continuously say Corporate Kane like 6 times during this match.
That actually just went right over my head. I think I blocked that name out. But what I enjoyed, I'll have to say this much, though. You noticed the cut on Kane's stomach, right?
I did not.
There was
blood commentary tonight
running from Kane's stomach a bit. And it was very weird because I was wondering, and I know this might sound silly, I was like, is it the belt that he has? Because he had a belt on that if at any moment it, like, you know, opened up a little bit, the buckle, he could have slipped, you know, like, because, of course, it's funny to say the word slip, but it's just they're wrestling a match, you know, where people's bodies rub up against other bodies and people are thrown onto mats and, you know, things are shifted. So I'm wondering if that caused the cut because it was a very, you know, precise, like, it wasn't a huge thing that didn't bleed out. It wasn't like they were just, you know, like, you're not going to be like, I'm going to blade my stomach, okay, Jericho? Whatever works for you, man. So if his stomach is bleeding slightly, a little bit, you know, from like a tiny little cut, like it looked like it was related to either a belt or maybe like Jericho's like shoe, something weird, where it was just tiny. It was hard to notice, but there was blood around.
I didn't notice
that. It was weird. Yeah. It was. I mean, I want to say it was tiny, tiny, but it wasn't like, dude, it's from his chest all the way down to his stomach. No, it was in the stomach area a bit, I want to say to the right or to the left, depending on your view, of his belly button, and it was just very interesting because I'm just like, why is there a cut there? And also, damn, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when Kane came out, when Kane was standing there, he looked good, like, as a person, you know?
Yeah, he looked good as a person, and to be fair, he worked his offense as best as he could at this point in his career.
Oh, yeah.
But at this point in his career, somebody should probably retire Kane, and I don't really mean that in a mean way. I really appreciate what Kane has done for WWE slash WWF. But somebody should probably retire Kane, and he should probably stick to, if they really want, the corporate role backstage alone. And if not, write him off. Use that as a way to push somebody, because he's not providing much right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Outside of generic lackey of the corporation.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also, was Jericho bleeding? Did you notice that slightly, like, on the nose?
He might have
or was
been.
That just me? Okay, it looked like he was for a second because of, like, I mean, after Kane's big boot, I thought, oh, that doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
that
interesting.
Might have been the two.
I love how they're just, how they have to take this stance now, the company. It's just no blading, guys. There's not going to be any blood unless, of course, you're just human beings or whatever. Right? Like, just, unless you're people, but we're pretty sure you aren't. I mean,
or
that guy's
famous because he taunts so much that he beats redness into his chest, which is absolutely scary.
Yes, but then again, he's also so white that, I mean, you know, a flick could beat redness into his chest. So, let's be clear.
Yeah, they probably haven't bleached his skin. That's their own fault. But.
Oh, dear. But that's all that was. You know, there's not really a lot to talk about in that match because I just, you know, it was a weird booking.
Yeah, there was
and
no run-in or anything crazy like we should have expected, and most of us probably did.
Yeah. Which I think is good for one match, but when it happens almost all over, you're making a lot of decisive things that are just weird. This wasn't the worst decisive thing tonight, because this, I think this was a pure Vince move, or a pure kind of wrestling purist move, where it's just, we got to make the guy look good before the pay-per-view, so that when Randy Orton does beat him on his way out, because we assume that's where it's going, right? Randy Orton beats him on his way out, it doesn't look like Randy Orton beat up a guy that's dead, even though he killed him. Like, I mean, like,
that's
Randy Orton.
Like, I feel like they booked this kind of haphazardly because based on that beatdown, Jericho probably shouldn't have been around this week. And he won a match. And, you know, you make a good point. Yeah, you got to make him look a little bit strong going into the pay-per-view, so when Randy beats him, he's credible. But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't. Maybe it's last week I don't like. Maybe it's this week. But one or the other, they just don't fit up. You know,
I'm going to say last
week. Well,
I'm going to say last week, because last week it's the idea of, you know, and I'm not going to say they didn't know what they were doing this week until this week, because I want to give them a bit more credit. On certain things, I'm sure it was out of nowhere, but I feel like this, a bit more credit. But I have to say this much. Sometimes they book in a way that just makes it seem like, all right, you know, it feels like the Titanic is sinking every week, where on this, you know, this Monday, they booked it like, all right, everyone, it was a pleasure serving with you. It's like, guys, you have Night of Champions coming up. You're not TNA. You're doing very well with money. There's no reason why last week you had to go, Jericho's dead! Unless he does make it to Night of Champions, you know?
Yeah, like,
you totally
honestly, I think I mentioned this on the show.
Yeah.
The night off, I thought that he was written off. Like, I thought
that was
the Jericho write-off. And I was like, that's cool to me. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really confused when out of nowhere it was like, no, he's back and better than ever this week, beating Kane. Back to you. Like, what?
Yeah, it's just a really weird situation, because I think they really want us to be with them in real time, where it's just, I mean, come on, he had a week to rest up. And it's like, yes, but, like, sometimes it just feels weird, where it's just, but that could at least hurt your pride or, I don't know, something. He did have a good promo on SmackDown, though.
Jericho's pride is hurt, so he can't wrestle.
How great would that be? It's like, you don't understand my pride. Like, just kind of turns his head. You don't understand.
That would be a wonderful heel thing. Just citing non-physical injuries. And I don't mean things like, you know, depression, because I talk about the fact that I go through that. That's actually serious.
Of course,
you know?
of course.
But just sit there like, my pride was hurt, so I can't go on tonight.
I don't think you understand.
Miz could do something like that.
I was thinking the same thing. Miz goes, I don't have a lot of feelings, but when I do and they get hurt, I feel them. So you know what you have to do? You have to get out of this face immediately. Like, just, and if no one saw, I did the whole Miz thing. You have to get out of the moneymaker, because it's making money.
And I also thought about it being fun, because it's like, of course I feel these feelings. I'm an actor. I portray, you know, I'm in tune with that part of myself, because that's what I do.
I'm going to be in Twilight 5, The Twying, so if you could please just get out of my way.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm down with that.
Apparently he's part of the new Fast and the Furious, apparently.
I really hope that's a thing, because I'm a huge fan of the Fast and Furious. You know, at least what they've done with the series recently, because Fast 5 and 6 were superb in terms of once they added The Rock, not saying The Rock is to credit alone, but the way they rebooted the series in terms of making it more of a general action film instead of, like, just a racing flick, it became a really good film. You know, 5 and 6 were great. So that being said, I hope he is.
You know what was also great?
I'm listening.
The $9.99 song.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I actually like it. I like it.
The reason why I like it. See, and the problem is, I think, you know what I think it is? I know it might sound like we take this product too seriously, and I know it might sound like that, but please understand, right? Here's the thing. We do compared to, you know,
it's
the average bear.
It's okay to admit it. It's okay
Here's
to admit it.
No, you have to understand, we do compare to the average bear, right? We, of course, take this very seriously. But what I mean by seriously, I mean it in the sense that it's just like, so you see, someone like Adam Rose would just never work here. Why is Adam Rose even here? I mean, what is fun exactly? Is it science? I don't even freaking know, right? And isn't there like, you know, it's like, that's the thing. Where it comes to people
so
like Adam
Rose.
Okay,
in that area we don't. Fair enough.
That's what I'm saying. So, because we take it seriously in the sense that this is our job. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have 2K15 up for pre-order.
Right.
Right. You know, on our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, we have things, you know, available. So, of course, it's like, this is our job. But at the same time, we don't sit there, you know, and say, like, you know, like, Adam Rose isn't even that funny. It's like, oh, my God. Adam Rose should be doing all these mean things. That's the only way he'd be interesting. Hell yeah. DX for life. Suck it. Like, no, we'll have fun. You know what I mean? We won't just try to turn everything into, this is why it has to be darker. Right? So
terrible.
I don't know. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, it's okay.
It's
funny to me. Keep going, because I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So anyway,
it's just
so
like
when
you're
comes,
acting so edgy, and I find it hilarious.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's just we have to be so edgy. Just oh god, oh my god, I'm so edgy. I cut other people with my edge. Oh, right. So it becomes a problem to me.
Did you just say that on air?
I just said that on air. Because you look at the 999 song, and it just reeks of, and it's a good smell, of just 90s Nickelodeon. You know? Like, it really, so it kind of resonated with my whole childhood up in there. So I guess that's why I just like it. You know, and people just go, that's so stupid. Well, you know, there are things in wrestling that just aren't meant for you. Like, if you are a bit older and you feel, or you know, around our age, and you're like, no, not really. So, like, you know, maybe someone like Adam Rose isn't meant for you if you're the kind of person who's like, I don't like 999 and I don't like bunnies. If you side with JBL during Adam Rose segments, not only are you a lemon, but it's just not for you.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was kidding, but it's just because you know those people. And it's one of those, it's like a Dane Cook thing, where it's like, you know who those people are. And if you don't know them, then you probably are one.
Don't you ever reference Dane Cook on this podcast ever?
I just didn't.
Good.
So anyway, before we get to the Roman Reigns interview, I want to mention something. The first time the poster for, I'll call it a poster, but it was just the card of Henry rallying America, I have to be honest, Mark Henry's face when he rallies America is just, it's such a wonderful face.
Mark Henry, in many ways, is amazing.
Yeah,
and
without even knowing it?
Yeah, no. Just, the whole idea of the segment really made me cringe a little, because I was like, that can't be good. That cannot be good. I'm just looking at his face, definitely not good. That is not going to work.
Here's how I feel, right? Mark, be angry. Mark, be happy. All right, we like these faces. Mark, be motivated, all right? Now, Mark, how would you rally America? Perfect, get that shot. That's how you rally America right there.
That's Mark's rallying America face.
That's what I think is great, where it's just, Mark, how would you rally America? Oh, my God, this is gold. This is gold. We're taking pictures of gold right now, everyone.
We're printing liquid gold.
We're printing liquid
photos.
Gold. Like, right now. Now moving on to the Roman Reigns interview. What did you think about that?
The Roman interview?
Yes.
Okay. It was both Roman and Rollins' interviews tonight were interesting to me. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
I think I liked Reigns' interview for comparison to Rollins, because that was weird. But
that's why I love Rollins' interview, because I was like, because the thing is, I feel like with Rollins' interview, it was just the idea of, so I have this script. I sadly have a script. They all have scripts. How are we going to just take this to the next level? Just, he walks on his knuckles like this. I'm like, this is going to be gift for all of eternity. But getting back to Reigns.
No, but that
is
definitely going
to
be get for all eternity. But that being said,
with Reigns.
You know what I hate about it, though?
What?
Yet again, it was forgettable, but I think he's improving.
Thank you, because I feel the same. Where I like him better when he's funny and when he's – it's sad to say, which is I like him better when he's putting people down, right? In a way, I do. But I do, because I think for some reason it's just because he likes maybe like joking around with, you know, maybe his cousins or his family.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like a, you know, they poke fun at each other a lot. It might just be in his system, right? So, so that might be something easier for him to come up then. But thankfully, they've, as I've mentioned before on the show, they've gotten rid of all of those clunky catchphrases.
I assess and I attack.
I assess.
Roman.
It's like, no, Roman, you don't. Like, okay, you know, there are people who do assess an attack. You know who assesses and attacks? Seth Rollins. Sure, he hasn't done so much of the attacking so much recently, but he sure as hell assesses.
And
that man can think.
Nobody who assesses and attacks actually says assess and attack because they realize through assessment that that's a pretty bad plan of attack.
It's like, it's the idea of, so, you know, just on the loudspeaker. So, John currently escaped because we mentioned on the loudspeaker that he was wanted for murder. If you see John, don't look at him in the eye, call your local police, and try to get to a more public area. You know, you kind of sit there and you're like, yeah, that probably wasn't a good idea, Roman. Just, I assess and then I attack and then I assess and then I attack. And then what do I do after crowd? They can't chant it. They don't know the sellout.
They're just like, you spear? Is that it? Do we get it?
Yes.
Immediately, spear, spear, spear. Apparently, spear can be a chant. Gore was a goddamn good chant.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but
the spear would be a great chant from Michael. Just
you need something kind of. You need something like a bit more catchy than assess and attack. And Roman should not get to keep believe that. I think we discussed this on air before. You know, he should not be the one out of the three who gets to keep the whole believe in the shield, believe that catchphrase. I know that he needs it, but still.
Yeah, no, it should be one of those transitional, you know, catchphrases. Because they have transitional music, you know. They have things like that when they're trying to get, certain people's themes ready. So, transitional, you know, catchphrases. Because, yeah, I admit, I don't feel bad that he has it, but I do admit, you know, when you say it like that, is he the most worthy? He is not. So, I understand your point. No. So, I get it. I'm with you on this one.
Yay.
Believe that.
Damn it.
So, how did you feel about Bo and Swaggy? Swaggles.
Okay, so that was weird. Because it happened. And I know that...
I agree.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, that's another one. Where that's another match where it's just... So someone was going to get disqualified or... Rusev was going to come... You know, something crazy where it's just... Who is going to interfere with who and make this a tag match?
Yeah, I was really confused because we got a finish. And I sat there like, wait. Swagger's not the one who should be winning anyway. You know, so that was the...
Yeah, I'm really confused if they're trying this new thing, which we'll talk about later. But it's the idea of, you know, they'll lose now, but then it will also happen on the pay-per-view. And then the other guy will win. And in a way, no one really lost anything.
I mean, sure. But, like...
It's hard.
It's supposed to happen at the pay-per-view, yes?
It's funny because I don't think there was ever an official confirmation, but the problem is, obviously, to us, when is there ever going... Like, when there's 4 to 5 weeks, sometimes maybe 6 if we're lucky, you know, and they have rivalries, and they're lasting till the week before the pay-per-view. We all just sit there on our couches. Even the kids have to sit there to a certain degree, and they don't know the intricacies of, like, oh, yeah, this person will win over that person because they stood over here, and then they did this. But they at least have to sit there and go, that's going to happen at the show on Sunday, right, Daddy? Apparently it won't, son. I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
Really confusing.
Anyway,
I mean, like, the announcement early on of the Reigns-Rollins thing, when I heard that, I was like, that's weird. I immediately thought, Smos finish, which we didn't get.
Of course.
I thought, you know what, why are they doing this now? That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because it is.
That one definitely reeks of that. And I don't know why I like using that phrase, but it definitely, like...
Damn it, you moved on from cold open to reeks.
I don't know, man. I think that this reeks of cold open. And sharpshooters. Buy all of our T-shirts. We have none yet.
Did you make a sharpshooter T-shirt on the site already?
No, but it's coming. I don't know when.
I almost expected you that as soon as you launch the shirt, the site and, like, the market part, the first shirt is sharpshooter with a question mark?
Oh, no. Sadly, there are not any T-shirts just yet. But you can bet your ass that there's going to be. Speaking of T-shirts, actually, they didn't announce this on Raw, but there's a promo code that you can go on WWE.com to look up right now to get 50% off of T-shirts or, I believe, other items as well. So don't do it right now. We're on the air. But it's going on at 3 a.m.
Usually until 3 o'clock our time here in New York. So it's 3 o'clock Eastern time. So,
So you can listen to us and still buy stuff later, because I might, but I probably won't. But I have a feeling I should.
But he'll contemplate. But
I'll contemplate. But anyway, the match just felt like it wasn't supposed to happen, you know? And
it shouldn't have.
And I'm really worried, because I'm worried that I'm not saying that anything's going to happen to Bo, because he's gotten a lot of cool stuff recently, and I truly believe he's proved himself with all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I truly believe it, too.
Yeah, I believe, because if someone looked at him, if anyone looked at him and said, you know, Bo Dallas didn't, you know, we gave Bo Dallas all we could, but, I mean, he didn't really do much with it. Christmas is canceled. You know, like, that's a huge thing to say with what you've been giving him recently and how he's been knocking it right out. He's always knocked it out of the park. But recently, you know, with the swagger thing, he's really brought his A game. So to say, and it worries me because usually, I mean, maybe just because they didn't have enough time on the card, but if you remember when Adam Rose won against Jack Swagger on SmackDown, you know, when we thought, but that was going to be on the pay-per-view, did not bode well for Rose. Even though he was the winner. The point is that, you know, you look at, I'm not saying that Swagger is going to be the one deep pushed, but I'm saying that I feel like for Bo, it's just because he's, you know, the newer guy coming from NXT out of this. Also with Swagger, for some strange reason, I'm worried that it won't go well for Bo.
I don't know what's going on, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because first off, the one thing I loved about the entire exchange was Bo doing the We the People chant, you know, the thing on the turnbuckle. That made me smile,
right?
Because he does the little things right, and I am one of those people that if you do the little things right, I will really appreciate you. Of course.
Yeah.
You know? So you look at that, and I think Bo still has a lot of potential, and if they're giving up on him, as the rumors had stated, this quickly, like, I don't know. That's really depressing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it is.
Also, by the way, I would like to make everyone well aware that the rumors were stated before this Swagger thing. So it looked like people were saying, oh, Bo's not going to get anything. You know, Bo's going to be buried or whatever. And then all of a sudden he does the Swagger thing. So they gave him, at least if they were trying to bury him, one last shot. But in my opinion, he did very well, you know? I mean, it's very silly to say he didn't do well. So
no,
I don't know.
Where it's like if you sit there and you're like, he does nothing. No, he was good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting and it's very strange where I feel like if it's the case of, well, he isn't doing as good as some of these other guys, well, then apparently give those guys more room on the roster because we haven't seen much from anyone recently, honestly. Not in a bad way where everyone sucks, I'm saying, no. But what I'm saying is, you know, you have a lot of veterans winning a lot of matches that they shouldn't. You have a lot of people in your mid-card who are thankfully getting some stories now. But we have two shows, and then the stories are bringing, you know, going on to the other show. And guess what? I have a question for you. I know you love Justin Gabriel, but did it now occur to you when I said his name, you remember that he exists on the roster?
No, I always know he's on the roster.
I know.
Justin Gabriel is in two
modes
for me.
All right, did you know that he was on SmackDown?
That I didn't, but he probably lost.
Yes, but guess to who?
Bo.
Yes.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, and it was great because Justin Gabriel got to prove himself and show some moves that I think made the crowd go, who is this guy?
Because they should all be feeling that way. I'm sorry, Justin Gabriel's kind of like my pet project for any new listeners or old listeners who don't get it. Justin Gabriel's kind of like my little mini, like, love. I really think he's one of the most talented workers on the roster, as I did with Yoshitatsu, who was unceremoniously dismissed from WWE.
Right.
Not going to talk about that. But Justin Gabriel's still here. I still have one person to be in love with, and I'm very
The point is, though, is that if you're just going to say things like, well, we need time for our veterans, or at least veterans as in the people who've been here for a few years, to shine more than these new people. All right, then put them on. I mean, I'd be okay with the Justin Gabriel title run.
I'd be okay with Justin Gabriel getting regular matches on Raw. I mean, hell, why not? And I don't even need him to get, like, for me, I just want to know if I'm justified in really appreciating what he does. You know, like, am I crazy to sit here and think that this guy could actually be worth something if you put him up to the mid-card?
You were justified. I feel. From what I saw, you should go watch the match after the show. I think you were justified.
I feel that I'm justified. Based on what I know and have seen of Justin Gabriel, you know, I haven't seen that match, but based on what I know and have seen of Justin Gabriel, and the fact that I know he can do a clean 450, I mean, it's obvious to me that this guy could at least be an entertaining mid-carder or at least be in the tag team division. You know, like, he should be on the main roster doing things. So it frustrates me because I sit there and it's like, well, how do these guys, how do you ever expect them to do anything, be worth anything, get a shot? Because you're not giving them anything. When you give them a moment, they impress and you ignore them.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, tonight was such a weird night, you know? And of course, another weird thing that I don't know if you noticed, the Slam City announcement, did that freak you out too? It freaked me out in a weird way.
I kind of passed over it, so remind me or explain to me what you thought was...
The idea is, right, is that, okay, So, yeah, and I feel like it's a weird thing where it's as if Vince was just, Slam City's better than Cheap Pops. No, it isn't, Vince. I know how to prove it. Let's put them all together, X amount episodes together. We'll air them after Monday Night Raw. And we'll prove to you, it's like, Vince, that's a show that really is for children. I know we say we're, you know, we try to cater towards the children, but I mean, we're PG-13. Slam City's really for the kids, Vince. It's like, nope.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, I mean, it's not, I enjoyed some parts of Slam City, but if, by the way, I never got to make fun of you on that. You thought it was the guy's head exploding.
Oh, what happened on Cheap Pops?
No, you thought the Chief's Pops was taken down because of the guy's head exploding. But supposedly it was taken down because of the fact that they thought it was too funny.
There's rumors, so we don't really know.
I'm
just made the joke now based on rumors.
No, I'm hoping that that's correct. Mainly because I want to do it neater with you. But, like, you know.
Right.
Because you got me on TakeOver 2 Fatal 4-Way because I couldn't possibly believe.
Oh, yes.
Stupid of a name.
I was so happy that I accidentally was behind the name TakeOver 2 Fatal 4-Way. I think because I grew attached to it because I was so happy that I won. The idea of just, you see? Because it wasn't on air, but it was still over the phone where you were like,
no,
it is not Fatal 4-Way.
It put me in this situation where I had to defend TakeOver 2 because I liked that more than Fatal 4-Way. And mind you, I barely was able to accept TakeOver 2, but I have to defend TakeOver 2 as a pay-per-view name compared to Fatal 4-Way, because that was infinitely stupider.
You made a good point, though, and this all relates because on the network, where we mentioned that Slam City is on, also NXT is on, which apparently NXT people will be making regular appearances on Raw and SmackDown in the near future. Anyway.
But not tonight, because it's the go-home show, which is why it was such a good... But anyway.
Yes. But anyway, no, but what matters is this. You mentioned TakeOver 2 being a good name, which I do agree with now, because indie shows do stuff like that, which makes me wonder if someone like Triple H said...
I thought TakeOver 2, TakeOver 3, TakeOver 4.
But I wonder. That makes me wonder. I wonder if someone like Triple H was like, this is why we're doing it. And we all made fun of it without thinking of that indie idea, which is such a good one because I've never heard that. So thank you for that catch, because that is a really, really good idea. But
no,
then someone else...
Though. It took me until Fatal 4-Way to realize that, by the way. I have to be honest.
That's
one
thing. I think someone else tried to say, where it's just like, TakeOver 2, that's stupid. We must do what we normally do with pay-per-views and label it so that everyone goes, the Fatal 4-Way, that's the thing. Because I will admit, it is really weird to go, so what's happening at TakeOver 2? Well, the matches, they're takeovers. That's not a match type, sir. I don't know. So I think maybe they were just like, let's call it Fatal 4-Way. So anyone not knowing about NXT at all goes, so that's what's happening there. But I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying that I guess I don't know. But it's so interesting how it's just, look, Slam City. Everyone's going to want to watch that after Raw. All of their children are sleeping. Vince, this is, or whoever decided this. Monday night, if you did this after SmackDown, I'd understand. Even main event, because it airs at 8. And kids can be up a bit later. I mean, some kids today might even say, I want to be up to all of Raw. And some parents will allow it. But after Raw, watching Slam City...
Yeah, Slam City, ideally, I think, is something you should put on around, like, 4 or 5 o'clock on the network, because all your kids come home from elementary school and stuff like that. No joke, you know, that's your ideal time, because you put it on too late. People are either going to be watching TV, the kids have something on, or they're going to be working towards their bedtime,
and
you put it on too early in the morning during the week, and the kids have school. So you want to put it on, ideally, and that's the best time to hit them, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you want a marathon right then, marathon from 4 to 6. That's when they're home. That's when they watch TV. That's right before dinner time. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Now is a horrible time. Continuing the string of
arguable
decisions.
Right. So we're going to be quick about this, because we usually talk a lot about, you know, the way the women are treated in the division, right? And we'll talk about that a bit more when we actually talk about the matches themselves. But just speaking about something very quickly, the title, just the card that showed that it was a tag team match, got me because they used the Total Divas theme, which got me only because it's the idea that, you know, you look, only 2 out of the 4 of those women were in Total Divas.
Correct.
The idea that you want to lump those other two women with the Total Divas, And the fact that Total Divas is filmed so far in advance that it could be considered a prequel to what's going on right now, but no one's supposed to look at Total Divas and go, yep, that's why they're fighting in real life right now. When they aren't on Total Divas, then they're fighting. No, everyone, that was filmed in advance. You know, that was not filmed recently. You know, even Cameron and Naomi are still a tag team on Total Divas this season because it was filmed that early.
Yeah, it definitely irks me. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I sit there and I'm like, well, first off, mm-hmm. I don't watch Total Divas. I should be fair.
Right.
But based on the way that they promote it, it doesn't look like something I would watch, right? So
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this based on anything you told me, Matt, because I know that you mm-hmm. feel like it has a merit to it.
The first season did. This third season, we may be, Ashley Colpen, another one of our hosts, she and I may be doing this third season like someone would critique The Room. I think it's getting to that point. So, The Room. You know that movie, The Room?
Yes.
That's how I feel we are at this point, I would say, with the third season of Total Divas.
Okay, fair. No, because I sit there and I based on the promos, I feel like it's almost degrading because what they're doing is we took these successful people who have made it into WWE as female wrestlers.
Right.
But, hey, in case you forgot, they're still women, so they're going to bicker. And
yeah, no.
I really don't that because I know the show may have more to it, but what they promo it as is just like the whole watch the drama, watch the whole Jersey Shore kind of stuff break down as they have issues and call each other derogative names. So,
right. I agree.
Attaching yourself to Total Divas, I understand what WWE wants to do because it's their programming. Of course, they get money from it.
Right.
But I don't like, A, that now every woman on the roster somehow has to be related to Total Divas, or B, that you're trying to take people who, again, in the same vein, were actively not related to it and have cut promos against it, in AJ's case, and are lumping them in. Like, you know, just because they're female wrestlers does not mean they should be played with the Total Divas theme. I mean, why don't they get the right bumpers?
Yeah, also, one thing I would like to say, it's only one thing. The idea that Natalia stopped the car and pulled out Summer Rae, that makes sense if only because both on WWE TV as well as in earlier seasons of Total Divas, I believe even back to the first season, they've shown them have an animosity that honestly should be played out a lot more in the ring because they make it look real. It's obviously not because everything is staged, but they make it look real, which is nice. You know, to the point where it would get to the point where, you know, Summer said something stupid and Natty's like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop this car and whoop your ass in real life. Like, let's forget the ring. I'm going to kill you right here in the highway. You know, I feel like that. But most of the other stuff feels like, wow. Like, I think they even had that sound once recently where it was just, see? Yeah. And I was like, that's, you know, that becomes a bit problematic. You know, I think this show is very jumping the shark with Total Divas nowadays, where the first season, I feel like it had merit. I'm sorry, everyone. The second season, a little bit lower, but I feel like it was there. Third season, it had some really touching stuff, but at the same time, also just made me go, wait, what? Why? What? Why?
Mm-hmm.
What? So, yeah. Anyway, getting back to the actual action, because there was AJ and Paige versus Nikki and Brie. I don't think the match was bad, but what do you think?
No, the match wasn't bad, but again, as is the classic case, they don't get that much time.
No. Do you know how long the match was? Because it didn't click to me how long the match was. I think I was really happy with the ending, with the way that it felt like a, I hate to say this, but you know how it is, where if you replace, let's say, AJ and Paige with Naomi and Cameron, or even like Eva Marie and someone else who's a face, it would feel as if for some reason it has to end with, oh no, they're all fighting each other by being on top of each other and rolling around in the ring. Like, I really like that it turned into a real situation of, like, you know, if the people in WWE who are sexist, right, were booking a male match with men in it, it would look just like that with a finish.
Yeah.
So it felt really nice.
It would have gotten more time. But
that too.
You're correct. I mean, they got an actual finish, and the Divas Champion looks strong, which makes me wonder. You know, if the Divas Champion looks strong coming out of the match,
I think they all kind of did, though, which was nice.
Except for potentially Brie.
Well, remember, she wasn't even in the match, which is nice. So Nikki looked strong by destroying Brie. Paige was able to skip off, and so was AJ.
That was an interesting little moment. I know that I shouldn't like that stuff, but I find it amusing.
Well, what I find amusing is, here's what I find amusing, and I think you mentioned this, and now I'm starting to agree with you, Paige's dedication to this role, where on Friday, sadly on the SmackDown that you did not see, there were good things, and Paige came in, first it was an interview with Saxton and Nikki Bella. Yes, Saxton and Nikki Bella. And then all of a sudden, AJ comes in, and she goes, yeah, you know, I'm here because apparently, you know, you're here in a match that Stephanie McMahon booked for no reason whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, Paige comes in after, you know, AJ says some things, and Paige goes, you're Nikki, right? Yeah, Nikki. Sorry. I'll remember that next time. And then Nick starts cutting a promo on why she's so great. And as she's leaving, she goes, so goodbye, Brie. Oh, I'm sorry, Nikki. And then leaves. The little things are just so right. You know, she's really good at that because she actually made it sound like she forgot and said Brie. She was like, oh, I'm sorry, Nikki, right, oops.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I don't need to go on why I think Paige is an extremely talented performer. But, I think that her and AJ have more chemistry than I originally thought they did. And it shows sometimes when they don't sit there and, like, specify or completely outright go, like, they're crazy. Because that just doesn't
work
at all.
Mhm. I think that takes away from everything, because as I've mentioned before, time and time again, and I'll say it again because I'm a broken record, brand split, sharpshooters, woohoo. I'm going to say that the issue is that if you a certain amount of divas that you have on the roster mean, and they're less than the male ones, means that you can't give everyone real, you know, copied gimmicks. Like, guess what? I think I've said this before, but if I haven't, here, let's drop a bombshell, everyone, and I really mean this. We have AJ and Paige being crazy. Right? That's happening. Where did Alicia Fox go? Where's Alicia Fox? She's just missing. I mean, she was so crazy for months, but oh no. It's the idea of, damn it, we can't give women the same exact, we can't give people the same exact gimmick. We have to tweak it up a bit. But then it's the idea of, wait, you mean tweak it up a bit or take them off TV? Right, that's easier. Let's just take them off TV. And all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're going, but these are people's careers, people's lives that they left in your hands. You told them that they're not allowed to change it for themselves. So they left it in your hands, and you gave them something that was just, oh, wait, no, now we're doing the crazy thing with these two women. So we got to take this woman off, and she won't be on. It's really, really upsetting. But Bray Wyatt had a promo. And that was nice, short and sweet.
Yeah, it's hard for me to really be attached to Bray as much anymore. It's weird, I have to be honest with you. Because I still love him, and I still think he does excellent promo work. But I'm just really saddened by the booking that surrounds him and his family. So it's harder for me to fall in love with these Bray promos, because I still think he's excellent. But WWE is working really hard to make me feel like he's not.
You know what I think it's funny? You said Bray and his family, and you meant the Wyatts, but Bo works just as well.
That also works.
Yes.
Yeah.
My idea is that they don't overestimate how much Bray can be loved. Because Bray, as you mentioned, can be loved, really, really loved. Like, you love him, and I don't think if anyone started off as a Bray fan, and they understand that it's, that this is staged, they're not sitting there thinking, no, Bray, no, he is whack now. He cannot possibly win a match. It's like, guys, it's staged, so obviously you're going to sit there and be like, no, Bray's cool. So I think they're banking on that a bit too much. Like, I think they're banking on the idea too much of, but Bray will be popular still. And I can see what you mean, but that doesn't mean that you put him in situations where he doesn't seem like the clear winner. Because, I don't want to say it's just the idea of nostalgia, but go back, look on the WWE Network, and if you don't have it, all jokes aside, get it for $9.99. Because there are a lot of good things on the network. Go back and look at some of, when he first appeared, because guess what? Those Raws and SmackDowns are on the network. So look at when he first appeared as Bray Wyatt and, the pay-per-view that he was at. And he really had this nice feeling to him, and it felt like they somehow gave him more time. And now it feels like he's just lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that for me is even though he had what would have been a convincing win against Jericho last week, I really feel like it's like that Wade Barrett syndrome. And what I mean by that is that after John Cena took care of Wade Barrett, It was really hard for Wade Barrett to pick up any heat, even though he was really good at what he did. And I'm starting to worry that Bray's going to have to deal with something similar.
It's right.
Just,
well,
it's just like the seeds of it being planted, you know? But I'm starting to feel that way.
I hope not, because, I mean, they are giving him promo time. The issue is that it has significantly cut down from what he used to get.
Yeah, that being said, I should be honest. Part of me was really bored with Raw in the beginning, so it wasn't a big Bray thing. I kind of may have zoned out because Raw was bad, and definitely not because Bray was bad.
I understand. No, I understand. I mean, you know, Bray ends up having a match, which we're not there just yet, but he has a match that was forgettable. And we'll talk about that just in a second, because we have something cutting right in between that. We have Heyman being thrown back into the dressing room by Kali, and this is where I bring up my point, my huge point of, if you actually heard everything that Heyman said, you know, that's where someone like JR would help, where JR would also bring up the whole snake oil salesman thing, where, you know, Heyman brought it up a bit later, where it's like, you know, Heyman, wow, Coulter brought that up on SmackDown. No, tonight. I'm getting everything mixed up. Help me, please, someone. The point is that Coulter brought up the fact of, you know, being snake oil salesman, which means, of course, you're a con man, right? That's the idea. That's something that JR would say, which really helped the scene out, I think. Because, you know, without any commentary, which you're just sitting there and listening to everything, really sounds like Heyman's words are sincere. And I'm supposed to sit there and think, oh, yeah, he's, you know, a con man, whatever. But he's sitting there. Like, why would Heyman not be freaking terrified?
That's the thing. Like, he wants to contact Brock Lesnar to save his own ass. It fits his character. So you sit there, and you can think from the outside looking in, he probably does want to do that. And then Kali crushes his phone.
Yeah, which, and then I sat there and I went, Kali, you know what you're doing, damn it. He just picks up the phone and goes, hello, sir. I was like, Kali, stop it. You know what you're doing, stop it. No, because it's a situation where, like, at first we felt bad. We were like, does he understand? Like, we tried to say, like, did he understand? Only because, not to say that, you know, someone who doesn't understand the English language is any less intelligent than anyone else. But if you don't understand the English language, it feels as if people can con their way into telling you, just mimic these words and say them, right? So we were worried that he was getting that treatment in certain points. But at this point, we're sitting here and we're going, you know what you're doing, damn it. You know?
Yeah, and to be fair, to me, I thought that whole exchange was pretty stupid and did not need to be on TV. I'm just being honest with you. I thought it was stupid.
I think it was funny, but did not need to be on TV, because it's one of those situations where, again, and I've said this on other shows of ours, there are certain things that we and they can make jokes about backstage, but when they put them there, they're time killers that could be put to other matches or even to add time to get them some more cash. You know, if I was playing SmackDown versus Raw 2006 right now, which you can totally, you know, do, by the way, go play that, and you have GM mode, general manager mode, where you are the general manager, I would have taken that slot, and I would have been like, give me more money. I need more money to fund my show.
You can do that, by the way. Matt's not kidding.
So, that's the issue I feel with that section. And then Bray Wyatt versus Big Show. And here's the reason why it was an issue for me. I don't know if you remember. They actually had a match once. And it was a match, you know, one-on-one. And it was a match where it was just like Bray was trying to, you know, they were getting Bray over on big men. Where it's just like, that's a weird sentence. But what it's meant to say is, for anyone who doesn't understand certain language when it comes to wrestling, Bray was meant to look tougher and stronger and better, go over on guys who are veterans and are larger, or just veterans in general, so that it can look like Bray is a formidable threat. So it's very upsetting, not only that this happened again, but that in true WWE fashion, they did not even mention the fact that Bray had a win over him.
And what made it worse is that not only does he have a win over him, but apparently he wasn't good enough to get the win this time.
Yes.
In a moment where he already looks weak, and what made it worse was that not only did they have to make Bray look weak in that moment, they had to make Harper and Rowan look weak too. It wouldn't have been complete unless they further made Harper and Rowan look worse. They had to complete that whole cycle of ruining that entire set of characters for me.
You know, what I think they need to do more, and again, another commentary thing, which is hard because I'm sure corporate tells them not to do certain things. But what they really need to do is say something like, you know, like Bray didn't need that. You know, Bray didn't need that, but apparently his family thought he did. Little tiny things, but I didn't hear any of that.
Our three-man announce team has taken away from what I feel really worked in terms of, you look at the old J.R. King dynamic, in terms of J.R. being the super baby face, and King being a dastardly jackass heel. Not like sleazy, but just like he was a heel.
Right.
And so, you know, we kind of need that, I think. We need a heel-face dynamic in commentary because it helps feed stories. That's what they're there for, you know, to moments like that where they'll sit there and be like, you know, Bray didn't need that. And the face commentary will just be like, what are you talking about? You know, he was about to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, Bray would have killed him. Bray already has a win over him.
Yeah, no, I think what we – here's the thing. I'll tell you this much. Three-man actually works very well on SmackDown, in my opinion, where JBL's the heel. Right, Michael's the face, they bicker, and Tom actually gets them back on track by commentating on the match.
Okay.
It's very interesting, I think, because when they brought Tom to SmackDown, first off, I said, why not Byron? Second, I thought, well, I mean, either way, they're on the same, you know, thing anyway, like on the same, the same filming time slot. Because,
right.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but Main Event also gets filmed right before SmackDown. So, point is that, you know what, whatever, Tom Phillips is on SmackDown, and I thought, oh, let's see how this works. And they've made fun of him a bit, you know, because, again, he's younger, and honestly, it is funny when they crack some jokes with him, I feel. But he's also very good, where Michael Cole and JBL might be like, you know, yeah, this Bo Dallas is so dastardly, you know, but the thing about Jack Swagger is, and all of a sudden, while that's happening, Tom says, and in the ring right now, Bo is doing this to Jack Swagger. And you're like, wow, he's calling the damn match.
Good for you, Tom.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. I have to say this much, though. How do you feel about it? I feel if Big Show did pin Bray, because I understand how you think it made him look weak, because he kind of did. But if he pinned Bray outright, like punched two Wyatts in the face, pinned Bray, or somehow pinned him before the Wyatts got in the ring, I think we would riot. Like, I think on our 100th show, we would just stop. Just, all right, everybody, good night.
I would have turned off the TV. I'll be honest, and I haven't done that in a long time. I haven't turned off Raw in a long time. I've been bored with Raw, but I've sat through it. The last time I turned off my TV for Raw was when Cena beat Sandow after that whole thing.
Right,
where I
remember
sat there and I was like, I can't. I'm not dealing with this. So, you know, and I've watched Raw pretty dedicatedly for a while, but that would have been enough where I was like, can't deal with this tonight. Sorry.
No, I would have understood. Like, I think, I don't know what we would have done, but I think I would have understood. Not think. I mean, I would have understood. I didn't know what, I don't know
yeah,
what
Yeah, I
we
think
would
you
done.
Would have been angry with me.
Yeah, I would. No, angry, I'm sorry, I would have been as angry as you were, not angry with you. That makes it, I'm angry with you. No, I'm angry.
You.
I'm angry alongside you, yes. But it's okay, because if you thought that was upsetting, now here's a weird tag team, but it's nice, because it's refreshing, I think. Sheamus and the Usos is not refreshing. Goldust, Stardust, and Cesaro are refreshing. And putting those six people against each other in that way, I believe is refreshing.
It was cool, except for the finish.
Yes, of course.
Cesaro
and I think
doesn't need to be eating any more pins. Now,
here's the thing. Yeah. If we're lucky.
I think Goldust should be taking enough pins that it becomes a joke. Where
it
like
should,
he just
if,
sets a
yeah.
record for how many pins. But now I think you're going to say, if we're lucky, Cesaro looking weak means he's winning at the pay-per-view.
Here's what's so cool, right? We get a twofer here. Because Cesaro looks weak, he wins, you know, he wins at the pay-per-view, right? And because the Usos look strong, they lose. Because
Who
we had two sets.
Thing, by the way.
Goldust
and Stardust, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, I'm just confirming.
Yeah. So that's the thing. If they're smart, because here's the thing. Now, I'm not saying you should have Big Show versus Mark Henry versus, you know, versus Goldust and Stardust at the next pay-per-view for the title. But what I am saying is, if you're going to have Mark lose or even win and have the momentum of winning against Rusev and bring that to a tag division match with Big Show, And he's going to, you know, fight for, you know, because again, why would you do that? Why would you take away the title from the Usos and put them on a heel tag team? Because you don't want, apparently, in this day and age, faces fighting faces. So if you gave it to a heel tag team and then said, put them up against Big Show and Mark Henry, so long as Goldust and Stardust don't lose to Big Show and Mark Henry, that's, you know, that's a thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a thing right there. And if they lose, that'd be an issue, but also at the same time, it'd be like that monkey paw thing with the catch, where it'd be like, well, those guys, I thought you said that you wanted quick title changes in this, you know, at this point in WWE when it comes to mid-card titles. Why are you so upset? It's Big Show and Mark Henry. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, so, I mean, you're right in terms of, hey, we may have the double thing in our favor for once.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say double whammy, but double whammy is a bad thing because I don't even use a phrase where two things work good in our favor because that never happens.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, like, well, the Usos winning is good because that means they might lose. If the logic still prevails that, you know, the one who looks weak going into the pay-per-view comes out winning,
yeah,
then that's great for most of the people on the card.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest. I have the strangest feeling. Like, what I think, honestly.
Which is what I'm in fear of.
Yes. Honestly, in this match, for this case, I really feel like it's probably going to be something where, like, the Usos win, but Sheamus loses. You know? Or, if they're thinking about the Henry thing, sadly, vice versa. You know? But if they're smart, they give Cesaro something, where if Ziggler wins, it's the idea of Ziggler wins, who does he fight? Cesaro, because heel. I mean, come on. Also Intercontinental, you know? He has a right to that. If he's not going to get the U.S. title, he can say, it's okay that I'm not representing the U.S., because look at you people. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. You're this. You know? He can, if that's the case. Hopefully that would be the case if Cesaro does lose, because it's just, you know, there's no reason why, you know, Cesaro wouldn't want to, couldn't win this. But if he doesn't, and the Usos lose, or something like that. Because I feel like they're not going to give both. They're going to give us one or the other. And I don't know which one. That's what worries me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of things on the night are going to go bad for me, where I'm going to get my hopes up, and things are just not going to go well. But arguably, I mean, you look at this, and Sheamus as a mid-card champion does nothing for most people. The championship is basically a freaking prop. So Cesaro kind of needs it. It could work with him, I hope. It would make sense. Meanwhile, Cody Rhodes and Goldust, or Stardust, rather.
Yeah.
They've got their heat now. They had it last pay-per-view. They got it again now. You should give them the title while the iron is hot.
Hell, they had it last year. So it's like they've gotten heat back.
Yeah. You know, they're back on this thing because of Stardust. It's fresh for these people.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see the really odd botch-type move in the middle of the match with Stardust and one of the Usos, when he went for that, like, springboard kick, and the camera angle kind of did a good job to hide it, but basically he missed, and the Uso fell anyway?
I don't think I noticed that. I noticed some of that tonight in terms of it was Naomi and Cameron, but not in this specific match.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, we'll talk about that soon. We'll talk about that next. But, I didn't notice it. What I did notice, which was interesting, it looked like one of the Usos slipped but then played it off as the injury.
Yeah,
which was nice.
That also in Stardust meowed. I just want to make that up. Cool.
And then he growled.
And then he growled.
You know, it's upsetting because I don't like the way they word this because I feel like it's still like a weird territory where they make it seem like, oh, they're dressed like this, so obviously they're, you know, they're weird, or they're messed up in the brain, you know, because it's not true. They're weird and messed up in the brain because, you know, they will meow and they will bark and they will also end up, you know, like beating up people at the drop of a hat. You know, that's why. Not because of how they're dressed or how they look. But I still do, in a way, appreciate when JBL says, what happened in the Rhodes house? You know, what happened in the Rhodes family's house? Like, what happened there?
So, when you think about it, though, it is kind of funny to sit back and smile and think we got the American Dream, Goldust, and the dashing Cody Rhodes, who is now Stardust, out of the same fold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they're half-brothers, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
In the Runnels family, but oh
yes.
My God.
So, and the idea that if you go back and look at some of the Attitude Era Raws, which sadly they aren't there yet. There are few Attitude Era Raws, but they are not there as full years. However, also if you want to look at that Monday Night War show, which is really good, you can see some, you know, and if you also just remember, because if you're old enough to have seen the Monday Night Wars, you can see that there was a point where Goldust actually was in BDSM gear.
I'm moving on.
We must mention one thing, and I think we mentioned it on the show before. I believe we mentioned it. It might have been on a speaker account. I have to mention this to you. Please, it's really, really funny. And I think you might have forgotten it, though. This is what I want to mention to you. Do you remember what happened when Vince McMahon called, Virgil Runnels? That's his name?
Yeah, Virgil.
And said, hey, Virgil, you know, we want you to be this character like, you know, Goldust. Do you remember what happened there or no?
I believe he liked it, but no, I...
No. Okay, you know, so Vince called Virgil, right, Mr. Runnels, and said, hey, we want you to be an androgynous character, all right, could you do that? And he was like, sure, of course I can, don't worry, I can do that. Hung up the phone, immediately went to see what androgynous meant in the dictionary, and said, oh my God. And guess where I learned about this? On the WWE Network, because sometimes in between the live feed during shows, they'll, like, put little mini quick things that, like, can't – like, would not fit on, like, actual network space because they're, like, 3 minutes long. But just stuff from, like, the old, like, 2000s video vault stuff, you know? Like, I remember I was seeing a clip of, like, Eddie and Chavo stealing cars, pretending to be bellboys. Yeah, old stuff like that where it's just – it could only make its place on the YouTube channel because they're about – you know, they're 3 minutes long. So it would be really silly to just kind of put them on the network in any way other than being on the live feed. But anyway, not Naomi versus Cameron. I'm so sorry. We have to talk about Seaman pulling Paul Heyman into the ring.
Wait, hold on. I have to be – just now because I need to confirm this because I think I may have screwed up. We're talking about Goldust, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's Dustin Rhodes or Dustin Runnels.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Who's Virgil? One of them is Virgil. I know it to be true.
I assume that means...
Is Maddie still here with us?
Yeah, Maddie's here. I'll ask her. I'll go check my...
Thank you.
That's incredible. Are you reading her minds? No, she actually texted already. She mentioned that Virgil is Dusty and Goldie is Dustin. So...
Oh, thank you.
I was half right.
we flipped them around. All right. But thank you, Maddie. So Maddie's our fact checker, everyone. Wave to Maddie, even though she can't see it, and she and you also can't see her wave. So, I mean, I don't know why we're doing this. But anyway.
Maddie, I hope
you're
waving. Stay in character. You're a nice person. You're a face.
She immediately turns heel and starts texting you very evil, inappropriate things like, shut up, Satish. You know what? You have a very nice mother. And you throw your phone across the room. Don't you dare talk about my mother.
Why is that relevant, folks?
John Cena, for some... Okay, John Cena, if you're trying to say that someone's crazy, quote-unquote, like, I hate to use that word, but the idea of WWE crazy, where it's just, oh, man, they have so many mood swings, right? That's the idea of WWE crazy. That was a bit of John Cena tonight, where he just says some really weird things, and I want to say they're hypocritical, but you know, when you're a hypocrite, you know, like, I don't know, it feels like it's like, John, you're a hypocrite, like, oh, damn, I am, but I'm also evil, because it's WWE, so it's like, when you're a hypocrite, you know you are, and you smile dastardly with your long, curled mustache, but no, John just sits there and just says weird things, where it's just like, you know, like, and then Paul has to go, John, you know you're being a bully, right? Like, John. You're being a bully, and I brought that out of you. So, ha-ha, neener-neener. And John's like, damn it, I am being a bully. I must not be a bully. Because you know what, Paul? I won't be a bully. Because I love the children. You don't have testicles. What did you say about my mom?
Dude, that's the thing. Like, it was so... this is part of the night, you know, outside of the general concept of him taking a hostage. But, dude... Like, it was just a matter of, you know, he's just standing... Paul Heyman was beautiful, by the way. He saved this. Because... In the beginning, when Cena was just taunting him and stuff, and I was sitting there like, "This is I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this is going." Mm-hmm. And Heyman immediately just turns the situation from him being, you know, completely in fear and terrified, to a position of power where he's like, "This is what I wanted. this is the John Cena I needed. This is the John Cena
yeah.
that needs to be. And it is, as he admitted, this is part of his master plan to make John Cena a Paul Heyman guy.
Right.
And it was nice for Heyman to have his moment where he was just like, see? And then John just completely confused me because he's just like, nope, not going to be that guy. Nope, sorry.
Which is
and
good.
And then, you know, which makes sense for John, and he basically
mm-hmm.
calmed. That was okay. Where he was calmly like, you know what? I wanted to fight with Brock Lesnar because my beef was with Brock Lesnar. I did this whole thing not to assault you, but because I wanted to fight with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I. Yeah.
But you're sleazy.
It was,
not
it was like
happen.
He was saying sorry. Yeah, in
yeah.
a way. Where it's like,
it,
you know,
it did
like.
It sound like a sorry. Like, you know, my plan here was to get to Brock Lesnar, man. Like, you know, so don't think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was okay. And then Paul's like, you know, your mom would be proud if. And then, boom, you have no testicles. What?
You know,
and
you'd be like,
just,
yeah.
What does that prove? And
here's
why
the weird
would you
thing.
Cheer that?
Here's the thing. It's because I think people are just very much into this idea of, like, anti-hero types. But the problem is just that. That's the thing. I'm wondering, like, I don't.
Of course.
It's
people
really
love
weird.
Anti-heroes. But John's not
but,
an anti-hero.
You know, like, it's you shouldn't be looking at John Cena and going, I know he has Superman's powers, but I really want him to be the Punisher. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not at all. Like, if John Cena has Superman's powers, he could have Superman's sense of dickishness, because Superman, depending on the way he's written, does have, like, a sense of wry kind of humor that he uses on Batman, let's say, where, like, you know, where, you know, like, Batman might be wearing, you know, of course, his whole black scheme, standing on, like, a gargoyle, you know, statue, and, you know, and it'll be like, so, Bruce, looking a little down tonight? Like, you know, that, yeah, he can do that stuff. Like, he will do that. So that's not, like, oh, out of Superman's range of, you know, character. But the problem becomes just, you know, Superman standing going, hey, Bruce, can I punch you in the face right now? No. Bruce says, what?
What?
Punch in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Just, oh, my God, that's hilarious, Bruce. Actually, wait a minute. Let me tell everyone you're Bruce Wayne. Give me 1 second. Just immediately screams, Batman is Bruce Wayne! So loud that the entire world and galaxy hears it. Like you have Darkseid sitting on Apocalypse going, I didn't know that. Like, whoa. So it's really upsetting. Where it's just like, it feels like it's like, let's give him Superman's powers, but none of his morals.
None.
And by the way, what's funny is my notes had that John Cena was a bully before Paul Heyman wrote it. Not that I want to sound like a podcasting hipster, but I just want to make a note of it where it's like, he's a bully, Paul says it. So we're in
yeah.
agreement here, guys.
But Paul was right. You know, John was acting
yeah.
like a bully. And if he went ahead with the push or the hit, which he did,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't look good. And the reason I feel like I want to move on from this is because we covered it earlier. But
yes. But no, but what I want to mention, though, is that it was very nice, their MMA fight, when Brock did come out. I did not expect the German again, which was – I really did not expect that German from Brock. Like, Jesus. And
really,
I was happy –
after 16 of them, you thought he was done? You just thought, you know what, no more Germans right now?
I thought they were going to be in the match itself. I did not think, because here's the thing.
Totally
for a
that.
Second,
no,
it looked like, for a
understand.
Second, no, because for a second, it looked like Cena was going to take the, I was, you know, it's like, because again, I'm worried, because I thought, before I saw the end, it was going to be, Cena's ready for Brock Lesnar. Cena's not ready for Brock Lesnar, but he may be at Night of Champions. And it's like, no! But no, it was, Cena's ready for Brock Lesnar. Okay, he's not. Wait a minute, no! Cena is ready! Like, it's as if, like, he was practicing, where he was just like, I actually have a machine that gives me German suplexes. My neck is now made of steel.
Brock's like, what?
You know,
it's
like,
that way. Brock settles for front suplexes. Damn, the machine didn't prepare me for that.
My back is ruined. Like it's like when you work muscles and it's just, yes, I work my neck muscles to the point where they are made of steel. My back was not prepared. He just does.
Mm-hmm.
He basically breaks him like Bane broke Batman. I was not prepared for this. Just
that'll
all of these.
Work if the neck is prepared.
All of these bear hugs. Why? Why did I not have a bear hug machine? But anyway,
I'm laughing at the German suplex machine idea. By the way, because that's just scary.
I'm not forget the bear hug idea, because you know how in the video games they're all, like, limp and lifeless? John's like, do it. Like, just John's like, ooh. Nikki's like, are you done? Nope. Only on hour one. Three more to go. Ooh. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just really liked the MMA fight that they kind of, the look that it had. And also the amount of security there was so much security that it made it look real, where it was just like, guys, we need to pry them apart.
Into it. The crowd was totally into that whole thing, where they were just like booing the second security came out, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, because it really was nice, where it really felt like they had a nice thing going there, and it made them both look strong, because that's another thing, where even though they did have a lot of that, oh, look, this person's standing tall tonight, you know, which makes you think, all right, so that means that the loser's going to win. In this case, it was nice, where it's just, ha-ha, you might think you understand what's happening, Internet, you know, but look at this. It's like, damn.
Righto.
Yes, but going through something quickly, but we still have to bring it up because it did in fact happen on Monday Night Raw. While we are happy that there were two women's matches tonight, because that's always a good thing, because, again, as we've mentioned, there's, let's say, 15 women, maybe 14, maybe even you want to say 12 to 11 active because some are out on injury. The problem is that you have 10, 11 women on the roster, maybe 12, you only get, like, you know, four on a show a week, this week six, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's a problem. Because it was like, wouldn't it be silly if it's like, oh yeah, we have a roster of like 20 males. How many are we going to use? About like five, maybe seven. It's like, but you have so many. I don't know. So it really seems bad. So we put some women on the card, but we put them in such a weird blow off match that already happened. Like, I'd rather have Alicia Fox on the roster, honestly. Because we had Cameron, who, I'm not saying she's the worst wrestler ever. But I'm also
definitely not the best.
No, she's only used as enhancement talent and should only be used when you're facing someone like an AJ, like a Paige, like an Emma. You might not think much of Emma because they haven't showed you much, but you watch NXT on the network, you'll know. Early NXT, you'll know before she got called up. Anyway, so yeah, there's a lot that, you know, they can do, with her. But without actually being in match with someone like Naomi, who I don't think Naomi's enhancement talent. She's actually a lot better than we think. But she also shouldn't be put up against someone who is that much less than her in the ring. Because then they both kind of look bad.
Yeah, I mean, Naomi's the more talented one, both on the mic and as a wrestler out of the two. And it's just, I feel bad because it also confused me in terms of, you know how you were mentioning today, like, blow-off matches that didn't, like, you know, why are we having blow-off matches on Raw? Naomi versus Cameron could have been a pay-per-view match. Not this pay-per-view, but why not, right? Because there's a storyline there where it's like, you broke up the Total Divas, the Funkadactyls.
Well, remember, they did have that storyline, and Cameron won, and then nothing came from it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like because they're referencing it on Total Divas, they want it to be a thing again. And, you know, you're right. It did happen, and it was really weird. But now, I mean, what the hell? Like, I don't know what they want to do. Why would you reference it if you don't want to go down that road
again? And a huge thing, and I think that some might think it's a little thing, is that Cameron was in that outfit again. Now, I'm not saying the outfit is, like, bad, but here's the thing. I think the outfit belongs in three places only. And it belongs, you know, it belongs for cosplay, right? In the bedroom, or if someone's gimmick calls for it. Nothing about her as a character made me think this makes sense. You know, if she was repackaged, if Sandow was still the superior whatever, and she was packaged as, like, his, like, apprentice, where it's like, I am teaching someone to be just like me because someone on this roster has the brain to be a part of Sandow's superior crew, right? Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, sorry, what am I saying? Sandow's superior scholars.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. That would have been like, well, she's dressed up as a schoolgirl. I guess I see where that's going, right? You can even have someone a bit like Cody Rhodes, let's say, dressed up, you know, in a very, like, college-esque preppy outfit. It's like, oh, I see what they're doing with this. Got it. But no, it's just so, you know, like, and this happened the last time we saw her against Cameron. And I'm sorry, Naomi. And it felt like it was just the idea of, so, should we put her in a sexy schoolgirl outfit? Why not? Why wouldn't we?
Yeah,
and
it's, then it's funny because I know that you're right, but the thing that bothered me more about the match is that she can't work, slash that dropkick spot was horrible.
Okay, the dropkick was bad, and it sucked because you saw from the camera angle that Naomi, from one, it was not the dropkick, it was a running something.
Yeah, the
though.
Running, you know, when she was seated.
Yeah, and Naomi just ducked a bit too quickly. I was like, come on, Naomi. Like, maybe they're telling you not to get the moneymaker kicked, but I mean, come on, like, get it kicked. There are people on Raw that night that got kicked in the face three times during one match,
it was not fun to watch, and that match was just kind of lackluster.
Yeah. And then remember the pin thing? I laughed so hard. Yeah, you know what I mean, right?
Yes.
Yes. And it's funny because, again, all I'm saying, right, all I'm saying is that, I said this before, Naomi, I said about Eva Marie, but Naomi and Eva Marie should be a phase tag team where they don't know what they're doing half the time. Not only would it be glorious, but they would get themselves over a lot faster than they are right now at trying to be heels. You know, just put them in a ring together and be like, we know exactly what we're talking about. We know about all of the greats. The Stone. Hard Cold Steve Johnson. We know about all of them. Degeneration Y. What?
No, for a second, you lost me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, did he just? Oh, no, he's making a joke.
Yeah. Degeneration Y. I know about Shawn Michaels, and I know about Triple X. Don't try to tell us about the history of wrestling, okay? You know, you'd sit there and you'd be like, are they really messing this up? And then by week two, you're like, wait a minute, this is the best thing we've had in a while.
Yeah, it's like the anti Sandow gimmick, where they sit there and they're like, no, we know what we're doing. And
yeah,
like, you could do that with a super fan male too. And it would be funny.
Of course.
Like, I would enjoy that kind of, like, whole thing. Where it's like, yeah, man, I really, really grew up loving wrestling. And my favorite match ever was where Triple H beat the Iron Sheik for the title in 1996. And someone's like, that didn't happen. It didn't here. It didn't.
I hate that so much. And I just imagine you pointing to your head. It
did
up in here, buddy. It did up in here.
I hate that I did the motion even though nobody can see me.
But I knew it.
It's natural reaction.
Yeah. All right. So, as we quickly go on, Ziggler and R. Ziggler versus Miz and Mizdow.
You know what?
What?
I never really compliment commentary, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the times that they deserved a compliment. Except for King. But JBL and Cole.
What did King do this time?
No, King was just like kind of not really feeling, like, not that he deserved a demerit, but it was just a matter of where he wasn't going along with the jokes as much.
Right.
Where, you know, Cole's like, that's our Ziggler. Ziggler's in the ring. That's our Ziggler. No, that's not. Damn it, King. Like, you know,
no, I think
like,
he was trying to. I think he was trying to be that kind of. I'm pretty sure because they needed to have someone. Though it was really great on SmackDown because if anyone didn't see SmackDown, which I understand because it's SmackDown, but this was actually a really good one this week because they introduced the R. Ziggler concept because Ziggler came out and said, "Well, I have my own stunt double." And it was like, "Oh, does he really?" Immediately, R-Truth comes out and they just go. And then after a while, they're just like in the ring. They're like, "Wait a minute, which one is which?" And Miz and Sandow are talking, and Miz goes, get that one. And, you know, get that one, well, I get that one. Like, he didn't even use, like, terms of, like, R-Truth saying, you get that one, I'll get that one. And then you have commentary going, I think they're trying to decide which one is which in the ring right now. And
yeah,
I'm
no,
losing it.
It's
and
hilarious
then, no,
because of the... Oh,
yeah.
Go on.
I'm sorry, just the highlight of the match was when Miz was in the ring giving, I think he was giving, let's say he was giving Sandow a headlock, and Miz was on the turnbuckle, no, giving Miz a headlock and on the turnbuckle Sandow, like, come on, sorry, Miz on the turnbuckle, like, come on. Immediately ref was, like, turned around, like, Miz, stop it, I'm the referee. Immediately they do a switcheroony, and you now have R-Truth in the ring giving him the headlock, and the ref turns back around, and he's like, guys, come on. And he's like, you have to get up to R-Truth. R-Truth's like, what do you mean? I don't understand what you're talking about. He's like, he says, you can hear it audibly. Did you really think that could fool me? And I lost it because I thought they were going to have the ref go along with it. But of course they're not.
Yeah, and it's just, the whole idea is fun. Because every now and then you need to do something actually fun. And this was glorious.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of the whole, by the way, I have to,
throw something out there. Mm-hmm. I am 90% sure, and Maddie had the same thought as me, that R-Truth was wearing old pair of Ziggler's tights. And because those were Ziggler's tights. Those were the show-off tights that he used to wear.
Right.
And she was just talking to me about the whole logic of, can you just imagine that exchange? Like, all right, just wash them before you give them back to me.
Yeah. But because he wore those same tights on SmackDown, it was really nice because in SmackDown, I think it was the better match because they gave more – they actually gave that match a lot of time. It was before, right before the main event, and they gave it like 10 minutes or so, and they had a lot of time. Also, the fact that they had a lot more spots where people were trying to copy each other. Also, actually, on SmackDown, while Sandow and Miz were coming out, Sandow was walking a bit behind Miz to the right and was copying everything Miz did right after he did it. So, like,
yeah,
Miz
he did a little of that tonight, which is what, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, but like Miz would put his hands up to, let's say, like, rub his chin. Sandow would look at him doing it and immediately just do it. Be like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Like Miz arranged some random guy's tie. The second he walked away after doing it, Sandow came back and slightly did it and then walked away with Miz. he was just his shadow. And I sat there and I went, this is glorious. So they gave that a lot more, you know, whatever on SmackDown. And it was a case of it's fun on SmackDown, but I do think on Raw, while still being fun, it's another kind of rehash that we didn't need, even though it was really funny, though. You know, it's a situation where I just feel like, you know, if it was kept on SmackDown and SmackDown was another brand, it would have worked very well. But the end was perfect.
I liked it on Raw. I think it's funny. Right. What I don't like is even though it's good, I hate the whole SmackDown Raw doing the same thing.
Of course.
I mean, shit, if you're not even going to, you know, if you're not going to do this brand split thing. You might as well put some original content on each show because without the brand split, again, why is someone, even like me, a dedicated fan, required to watch SmackDown? Give me original content. Now, if you're going to take the best stuff from SmackDown and just rehash it 3 days later, I definitely don't need to watch SmackDown. Because if you sat there to me this morning and said, you know, Stish, you really need to watch SmackDown. There was a lot of fun stuff going on, and they had this whole thing where R-Truth was pretending to be Ziggler's, you know, body double. Wow, that sounds fun. But I didn't get to watch SmackDown. I watched Raw tonight. It's right back there. Ah, I guess I don't need to watch SmackDown, do I?
Yeah, it's very upsetting because I really, because here's the thing, I understand it does require a bit of work that might be hard with Miz trying to micromanage everything, whatever, but it's really upsetting because all I want, right, is the idea that the show tonight for John Cena and Brock Lesnar is like, wow, this is the last time we'll be seeing either of them, and it probably will because, of course, why would John Cena appear on SmackDown, right? But still, wow, that's shaking the arena. The arena is currently shaking because it's shaking, right? And then on SmackDown, it's just, and now for the main event, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, you know? And that would be the main event of SmackDown because you can give your guys some time to shine. Or Mark Henry versus Rusev on SmackDown. It makes you think, yep, this huge, hot SmackDown feud for the World Heavyweight title is really going places. You know? Now, it's not just for the World Heavyweight title, person on commentary, because I don't know how they would split it. Person on commentary. It's for America. You know?
It's for America.
Yeah, exactly. Rusev wins the World Heavyweight title, and in his other hand, he's holding up America, a globe. Just, I win that one. But seriously, though, we have the Seth Rollins interview, which we'll be quick about, but I have to be honest. I'm very happy seeing Tom Phillips on Raw, because it really makes me feel like we're getting closer and closer to the future being here, you know, the new people taking over. Because we need that. You know, I'm not saying I hate the commentary and everyone else on the roster or everything completely, because I'm not saying I hate anyone, but we are, you know, we're starting to make veterans. Like, you know, they're here. You can't just sit. Yeah. So we're in that era where it's just guys, you know, it feels like it's becoming pre-attitude era, where it's just like, all right, we're going to need some changes soon, guys.
It could happen. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to have an explosion of talent, but the makings are in place. And that's why it's a good time to get into wrestling, where I do think that, you know, people will sit there and question, if you listen to our podcast, why do these guys listen, you know, why do they watch wrestling if every week they're just pissed off with it? Why don't they just stop? It's because the makings are in place
for what could be a golden era again of wrestling. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's not going to be Hulk Hogan-ish because of the fact that, well, just simply, KFAB is not real anymore, you know, and
right,
we have the internet. That being said, you can produce quality television with quality workers because the people are in place. And
of course,
they're
there.
Very hyped at that thought.
Yes. And, you know, and of course, you know, that's the thing. You got people like Tom Phillips. You got people like Seth Rollins. Well, of course. I didn't bring up Renee because she already feels like she's here. See, Tom, this is his first time on Raw, I believe. So that strikes me as, whoa. You know,
ooh,
I'm seeing you on my TV in HD because SmackDown's in HD, but it doesn't feel like it. But Raw was like, whoa, you're here, Tom. You've made it. You know, it's really nice because, for you know, a couple months back when we first started, 6 months ago, we started 6 months ago, everyone, at least on Blog Talk Radio we did. And it was, you know, he was just the main event guy. That's how he felt, like, oh, this is the main event crew. And that's, you know, but it, and we thought for a bit, we were worried. We were like, that's all they'll ever be, at least recently. No, six months later, he's on SmackDown. He's on Raw. That's,
mm-hmm,
he's moving, you know, they're moving up, which is nice because it feels like if they're moving up, they're at least transitioning some people off or will in the next 6 months to year, which is nice.
It could happen.
But anyway,
weird things have happened.
Yep, and, you know, and of course we mentioned before Seth Rollins giving, you know, being very fun in the interview, which is nice because it's kind of needed to the idea of just, you know, oh, yeah, let me make fun of him. Because, I mean, hey, it got me invested. I understand why you would like Reigns' promo more, but it still got me a little bit more invested than it could have, just with a bland script of, oh, yeah, he does this. Good night, everyone. No, just he does this. You know what?
For
yeah,
me, it was just a matter of my face was just what?
Of course.
The entire promo, I was just,
right,
what? What's
right,
going on? Like, what did I miss? And, like, I didn't know how to feel about this. And not to say that I hated it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know how to feel. It was really weird for me where I was just,
and
like,
then, and then
wrong?
We feel that. We feel that immediately after, where Reigns wins over Rollins, which makes us hope that, you know, they did this because they don't want Reigns to come out looking weak at all. But if you made, but you had to set this match, you had to set a match, you had to set a match that would make Reigns look like he's gunning. Because here's what's cool. You could make it look like Reigns is gunning for Rollins. And when Rollins is like Batman, let's say, where it's like Batman has time to prepare, he can win. But if Batman doesn't have time to prepare, because he kind of didn't, like he knows Reigns, obviously. But, you know, but Reigns has improved. Reigns makes a beeline for Rollins. Yeah, brute strength, he beat Rollins. But now he has a, hopefully they spin it to where he has a week to prepare. And at Night of Champions, Rollins wins, where he goes, oh, I see that you've grown. I see that you've changed. Here's how I conquered you. Here's how I beat you. And you know, and Rollins comes out winning at Night of Champions because it's so weird to mention that it's still going on. Because I thought, oh, they did this here. That means it's not happening. It's like, nope, see them again at the pay-per-view. Maybe things will be different. We don't freaking know.
You know, first off, this should at least have been the main event because I don't know. You were arguing to me that this is a really American town, which is
yeah,
why
not,
that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just
right,
didn't know.
Yeah, no,
that's why the Rusev thing came on late.
I didn't know either until I saw at the end when they're all holding up the flags, like, oh, beautiful. I'm like, oh, I think this is a very American.
I feel like WWE is selling flags because of the fact.
That's what I thought, too.
That segment, yeah.
Right.
But, so, this match, actually, I think was the highlight of why I thought this was a horrible Raw, and I'll be honest with you. And a lot of it has to do with the Roman Reigns booking over Rollins here.
Mm-hmm.
So, first off, disclaimer, I mean, I have to be fair. I understand that people with the Money in the Bank championship shot are usually booked weak. So, if Rollins is going to win on Sunday, somehow, that is the only way that I can accept what happened today.
Because he can lose twice.
Yeah.
He can lose again at Night of Champions. Or if he wins, that throws us off and makes us think, oh, so he's not going to get the title
right
tonight. But for all we know,
so,
that could be the surprise.
There's still a lot of things that came into this match that are big. First off, Dean Ambrose was not able to beat Seth Rollins clean.
Right.
Roman Reigns did it. That's a big thing. Because
yeah,
of the fact that Roman is being super booked into this, like, John Cena territory. And some people might sit there and think, well, Satish, no, he's not really getting into John Cena territory.
No,
he is.
No, he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is. The only reason why I give him slight more leeway is because from the looks of it, he's not being made to be a John Cena character. But if in 3 years from now, he's John Cena character and John Cena booking, we'll be on a Roman hate train, which is upsetting because we never wanted to be.
No, but see, here's the issue here, and this is a discussion. Now, during the show, I constantly talk with our fact checker, Maddie. And
right. She
brought up to me, she's like, after this match, we're both kind of infuriated because we thought it was a horrible thing to do. Because first off,
of course,
why not? This is actually, it makes sense for this Moss finish. It's stupid that you put this on the card, but it makes sense. We're all expecting to run it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Why do this here in such a short and underwhelming match?
Of course.
That being said, so we're certainly furious, and Maddie throws me the question of, hey, do you remember the last time Roman Reigns has been pinned in a singles match?
Ooh, a while.
No, actually, not a while. It hasn't happened.
Oh, okay.
Roman Reigns, since NXT, as not Roman Reigns, hasn't been pinned in a singles match.
Interesting.
He has
very,
been
very
pinned
interesting
in some matches, in tag matches, and he's not undefeated, you know. So I should be clear about that. You know,
he has.
Dean and Seth, I believe, have taken the majority of losses. We were going through some percentages and numbers here.
Yes, I knew Rollins,
Dean and Seth
have
taken the majority. And Bray, according to – Bray pinned Reigns during the Shield Wyatt thing.
Right.
When it came down to – so that was cool. After the Sister Abigail. I do remember that, Elimination Chamber. That being said, Roman Reigns hasn't lost – in a singles match. And for a long time, even his losses in tag matches where he was pinned, he was very protected.
Of course. Yeah, it's that's the thing. It can become a problem in the future, and it already seems to be because, you know, I mean, in theory, at the very least, I'll say this much. It's talent going over younger talent. Of course, the problem always becomes, but is that talent deserving? Where as of yet, no, and that's a huge issue.
It's just a scary thought for me.
I mean, honestly, for me, and I know this might be the unpopular opinion, so long as he doesn't get John Cena character, I think I'll be okay. So long as, though, I'll say this much, too. It can't be John Cena character, and it can't be John Cena title runs, where if they understand that they have so much talent that they can give Roman Reigns a rise to the top, but once he's at the top, good, we prep the next guy for the top. Oh, good, he's at the top too. Good, we prep the next guy. Where it doesn't become, so Roman's at the top, so we can stop trying, right? It's like, wrong. You have Cesaro, you have Rollins, you have Ambrose, you have a lot of other people that are still there that at the time will be veterans that won't be that bad in the ring, so they can still probably work a good match to at least, you know, be up there. You have Bray. I mean, you have so many people that could be up there with Reigns, so hopefully they don't give him a John Cena treatment. They give him the John Cena rise, but not the treatment of, well, one day Roman Reigns will have 15 title reigns. Oh, God, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to say Reigns.
15 is a pretty large number.
I meant saying Reigns. But anyway.
No, it's okay.
We have to be quick. We must go quick. The time is ending.
No,
quick.
Screw that. Screw the Rusev Henry segment. We can talk more about Reigns.
No, but I want to say one thing. But when Mark Henry had his arm around Michael Cole and he said, "Michael, don't be afraid," all I heard in my head was, "I'm going to love you so tenderly." Like the way he said it to him.
You have to remember here.
Yeah.
This is sexual chocolate talking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just. I love that those chants still happen. By the way,
I kind of do too.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie to you.
No, the only thing I'll say about the segment for the Mark Henry thing before we have to completely end the show is that my issue with it was that it wasn't anything new to the table, which is why it was upsetting. Where nothing new came from this, and now you wonder, you're like, so is Henry gonna win? Because if Henry wins, then I guess that's momentum to bring to the tag team division, and also it's okay because Rusev, you can say Rusev lost to the world's strongest man. Oh, I'm sorry, is that really hard to, you know what I mean? Like, Rusev didn't lose to some, you know, even though we love Justin Gabriel, still, at this point, it's like Justin Gabriel.
Oh, by the way, Lana was factually correct. like the stuff that what she cut her promo on,
yes,
that did actually happen. A
okay.
representative from the Soviet Union did win,
right,
at the super heavyweight lifting thing,
right.
Go figure.
But yeah, but still, it's very, I don't know, it's very strange because, you know, that was nice. I will admit, that was nice. But the rest of it kind of felt like old kind of ground where there were just nothing really new was there. And it kind of just felt like if Rusev wins, then I'm going to be very upset because even though I didn't want Mark Henry to beat him, who is more American? Who is more American than Mark Henry is right now at this second on the roster?
That's the thing. I mean, what are you doing here? I mean, you're going to, again, two anti-American things in a row? That's going
right.
to hurt.
It will. But anyway, sadly, we have to go. I would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. And remember, like our Facebook page, Those Guys on the Radio, where we post all of our shows. Like our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, where we post our shows and funny cat pictures. Remember our Gmail, thoseguysonradio@gmail.com, where you can send us show ideas, or you can talk to us about advertising opportunities. Also, remember that our new website, you can also send us show ideas there, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. And again, remember, thank you for listening in. Play us out, Satish.
We're going to hit the archives before I can actually play us out, which is actually...
Good night, everybody!
Fun.
Not going to play us out today!
I will play you out in the archives.
Okay.
I'm like, it hurts, because they won't hear it.
They can't hear you.
And we're in the archives.
But it's okay.
Yeah, we're in the archives. That hurts. I guess I'll
but
play
it's
us
okay.
out.
I mean, everyone's going to listen to this one day. Possibly tomorrow.
And I want to give it all to you. Yeah, right on. I'm right here for you. I know it's gonna be good to you. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, baby. Baby, it's time that you know my love is growing. And I just can't pretend anymore. Because my love is showing. Baby, I'm down on my knees. Yeah, right on. And I'm praying for you. Stop all these games we play. Cause I have to show you how I really feel, baby. Gonna give it all to you.
I'm on fire. Cause I know it's just you and I. Well, I hope.